Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. God bless you. So grateful that you'd spend your Sunday morning here with us. And I have a great word for you today. And that's this, is how would you like to know how to win on every front of your life? Well, I'm going to give you the secret to do that today, because we're going to find this out, that love never fails. Like, it always wins. But before we do that, as always, I just want to let you know that we're available as a church to minister to you. We're concerned about your needs and any way that we might serve you. And so for anything at all, if you just would just email us at info@everynationnj.org with your prayer requests, counseling requests, whatever it may be, and we'll get back to you immediately, very promptly. And then as well, if you'd like to hold on after our broadcast this morning on our Facebook live feed, you can actually have a prayer counselor pray with you virtually. And so we'd like to offer that. Secondly, as always, I would like to invite you to come join me for virtual hospitality as well immediately following today's service. At the end of our service today, you'll see a Zoom video conference call number. If you just call that, myself, Pastor Dottie Flanagan, we're going to be there. If you have any questions, maybe about the sermon or about our church, or just would like to speak with us, we'd like to invite you to come join us. So hope to see you at virtual hospitality. And so, all right, let me get into the tithe and the offering this morning. And so I'll just ask this, maybe in the chat box, you can let me know. Is there anyone out there that really likes soccer? I mean, come on, be honest. You don't really like soccer, do you? It is a very popular sport around the world, just not so much here. But so I don't know that much about soccer, but I am familiar with two iconic players that play today, Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi. And these two they go neck and neck to see who's the greatest in the world. And it was funny, recently I heard Ronaldo was quoted as saying this. He said that God sent me to earth to teach humanity how to play the game of soccer. And so naturally there was a buzz around the reporters, and they let Messi know what Ronaldo had said. And then Messi very calmly and matter-of-factly responded. He goes, he says, it's funny. I don't remember sending him to earth. Well, listen, Messi, you're not God. But there was somebody, the God-man, that God sent to earth, not to teach us to play soccer, but to teach us how life works. And I'd like to read for you Jesus, what he says, how life works best as it concerns to giving. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, Jesus says this, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And so I just want to encourage you in the tithe and the offering. As we give, God is faithful to care for his people. Pressed down, shaken together, running over will God supply for his people. And so, as always, there's three ways that you can give. You can go to our website, encnj.org. Just hit the giving icon. Or you can use the texting app called PushPay. So if you just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977, it's an unbelievably easy way to give. My family and I, we enjoy giving that way. Or, as always, you can mail in your tithe or your offering to 101 Gibraltar Drive here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And God bless you as you give. Listen, I'm so excited to get into the Word of God. What if we just get right into the Scriptures this morning? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is where we've been spending the last several weeks. I would like to look at specifically verse 7 and part of verse 8 here this morning to close out our series we've just called Love Is. So if you can join me, 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 7, it reads like this. Paul says this, that love, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. I love the NIV version. It says this, that love, it never fails. It always wins. Let's pray. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that I pray that you'd give ears to hear, eyes to see, Lord, that we would be true lovers here in the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. So listen, as we've spent the last several weeks talking about this idea of love, I think you would agree with me that love is a very romantic idea. It's a command from God, and something inside of us is like, yes, I want to love. However, at times when we go to live out love, can we just agree it's unbelievably difficult? Like, there are moments in our life where it's like we know we're supposed to love and we're like, I don't want to, Lord. It's funny. It's interesting. We read, it says, love, it bears all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Like, again and again, Paul's going to say, love all things, all things. What he's saying is love at all times, everywhere, all the time. There's no exceptions. And as we do that, love will win. But if you're anything like me, there's moments when I'm like, there's got to be an exception clause. Like, surely when that person did X, Y, Z to me, I don't have to love them, God. But yet God would differ. So if you're paying attention to sports, nowadays the NBA, the NHL, the NFL, and I guess we can include baseball, but they give players what they call these opt-out clauses, that because of COVID and the intrinsic risks, that they can actually opt out of the season with no penalties. And I think at times as Christians, we try to see, man, can I opt out of love? Because I do not want to love this fool that just wronged me, right? We look for loopholes in love. So it's a quick illustration is back in 1993, there was a guy by the name of Rick Meyer. He went to the most dreaded university on the planet, the University of Notre Dame. Notre Dame fans, you know it's true. I'm a University of Michigan guy, so. But that's neither here nor there. Rick Meyer was drafted number 2 overall, and so he had a great deal of bargaining power at this time. And I wanted to read for you one of the clauses in his contract, because he wanted to make it just airtight that there's no way that the Seahawks could avoid not paying him, that there would be no loopholes in the language of the contract. And I love what his agent, he wrote this in the contract. Mr. Meyer would be paid under all conditions, and get this, up to and including the end of the world. Is that amazing? Like, that dude was covering all his bases. He's like, it doesn't matter what happens up to the end of the world, you are paying my client. And so for the Christian, we just get no opt-out clauses. That we are compelled by the Holy Spirit and commanded by God to love people. But the good news, when we love, we win. When we love, the world wins. I heard this amazing allegory this week. I can't believe I hadn't heard it sooner. But remember, this is allegory. It's just kind of a made-up story trying to illustrate a point. And there was a man, he asked God if he could see both heaven and hell. And so God allowed him to go to hell and to see what hell was like. And to his surprise, when he was down there, it was pretty spectacular. There was an amazing banqueting table with this luxurious food and new wine and everything surrounded. But seated around the table were men and women that were starving to death with gaunt faces, barely hanging on to life. And in front of them were 4-foot-long chopsticks. And then, the problem was they could get the food, but because the chopsticks were so long, they couldn't feed themselves. And so they were starving and suffering. And then God, he translated the man up to heaven. And to his surprise, it looked unbelievably similar. That there was this massive banqueting table with all these luxurious foods and new wine. And yet around this table were seated people. There was laughter. There was joy. There was fullness of soul and of belly. And here's what we found out, is that each man around the table would take the 4-foot-long chopsticks and they would get whatever the person across from them needed, and they would feed their neighbor. They would feed the person directly across from them. And there was joy, there was fullness, and that is the kingdom of God. Because when we love, the world wins. When we love, we win. Everything wins because love, it never fails. And so I want to break down these kind of four characteristics we see from the Apostle Paul in verse 7. And so the first one is this. Paul says, love, it bears all things. So what that means is it's able to take it. It's not overly sensitive or touchy, but actually that love can take it. I'll illustrate it this way. Please tell me you've seen this movie. 1996, the Academy Award-winning film, Happy Gilmore. It stars Adam Sandler. Maybe you've seen him. He is my doppelganger. He's my twin. But in it, Adam Sandler is a frustrated hockey player, and so he has to get ready for hockey season. And so he goes into a batting cage, and he's taking 90-mile-an-hour pitches, and he's let it hit him over and over. And then people are asking him, they're like, what are you doing? And he says, only 364 more days until hockey season starts. I got to get tough. And as ridiculous as that is, that's kind of a picture of the believer. That we are designed by God to have soft hearts, but thick skins. See, the love of God, it gives us tender hearts, but it gives us thick skin that we can endure whatever people in the world throw at us. And so it's interesting. The word for bears all things, it literally means a roof or a ceiling. So in other words, it's a covering. It covers all things. And so it's much more than just absorbing sin on behalf of other people, but it's also covering over people's weaknesses and inequities. And so we get to see this over and over again where God, he causes people to help cover over the shortcomings of other people rather than highlighting the shortcomings of other people. And so I'll prove it to you in Genesis chapter 3, we see Adam and Eve sin against God. It says they're naked and filled with shame. But what does our loving God do? God gives them skins to cover over their nakedness and their shame. That Noah in the book of Genesis, it says that actually he planted vineyards and he had a little too much to drink one night and he passed out drunk and naked in his tent. Can we agree that's not Noah's finest moment? And Noah's youngest son, Ham, stumbles across, sees his father's drunkenness and nakedness. And what does he do? He calls everybody to look at his father, and a weak point in his life to highlight it so everybody can see. But Noah's other sons, Japheth and Shem, what do? It says they looked away and they took a covering and they covered over their father's nakedness, their father's shame. And so in the same way that we're called to cover over, I'll give you one more, Cain and Abel. We remember the oldest son of Adam and Eve. It was a man by the name of Cain. He grew jealous of his brother Abel and killed his brother. That upon killing him, God asked Cain, where is your brother Abel? And do you remember Cain's response? He says this, am I my brother's keeper? That word keeper in the Hebrew, it's the word protector, guardian, or covering. He says, am I my brother's guardian or covering? Do you know the response to that is yes? Yes, you are. One of the commentators I was reading, it says that the word for covering is synonymous with the word for eyelid. And isn't it amazing if you think about that, like the eyelid is designed to cover our eyes. Do you know that you blink that 12 times a minute on average, that your eyelids are constantly wanting to cover over and lubricate your eyes? 12 times a minute. Women, do you know that you blink twice as much as men? Did you know this, that when you sneeze, that you can't keep your eyelids open, that your eyelids naturally shut down and bear down? Why? Because they're covering over lest any of that COVID or something gets into your eyes. And so the eyelids cover. And so you and I, we're called to be the eyelids, the covering, the keepers, to cover over people's shame, their shortcomings, not to highlight them, My daughter, Cassie, I remember when she was just starting out as a hairdresser. And I love, she always comes home with funny stories for me from the hairdresser salon. And so she tells me the one, she's like, "Dad, I kind of messed up today." And she says this, that she was working on one of her clients. As she was working on her, she was supposed to, like, I guess, add layers. Or I'm a dude, I don't know what I'm talking about here. But as she was working, she realized that where she cut, that the lady had an unbelievably deep receding hairline. So where there should be hair to cover in and to fill in, there wasn't any. And so she's like, "Oh my goodness." And she just played it cool and was going. She called her manager over to see what he would say. And do you know what he didn't do? He didn't blow her up. He didn't say, "What are you doing?" In fact, he rolled with it. And he's like, "Oh yes, Cassie, very good. I love the pieces and the layering." And then he began to jiggle her hair. "Oh yes, yes, it looks." And so what? This woman thinks she has the hottest hairdo ever. My daughter won. The salon won. Everybody wins in that situation. Listen, it might not be the greatest of illustrations, but I will say this. Do you know, as a father, I'm so grateful that her boss, that he chose to cover over and protect my daughter. And do you know, your heavenly Father, that he loves it when we look to cover over people's shortcomings to help. Not, we don't highlight their weakness. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, Peter says this, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." Let's look at number two is this. Love, it believes all things. Love believes all things. So don't confuse that. It's not saying that love is naive, love is gullible. What it means is this, that love is going to believe the best in people. Like, love is a choice, and you choose to find and seek out the good in other people. And if there's any piece of relational advice I could give to people, it would be this: become an expert in people's strengths and not in their weaknesses. Become an expert in people's strengths and not their weaknesses. Listen, you want marital advice? Become an expert in your spouse's strengths and talk about them, speak about them, highlight them. Don't become an expert in your spouse's weaknesses and highlight those. It will not go well for you, all right? I promise you that when you're able to fix your focus on what is good in people's life, do you know you're most like God in that moment? Romans chapter 4, verse 17, he's going to say this, that God is the God who calls things that be not as though they were. In other words, God has the ability to call out the good in people and to lift it out and to pull it out of people. And so when God saw Abram, he didn't see a decrepit, childless old man, but he says, "No, your name is Abraham." It means you are the father of a multitude, of many nations. That when God saw Gideon, and when Gideon, he was hiding out, a coward, hiding from the Midianites, what did God say about Gideon? "Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor." God pulled out and called out the destiny and the greatness inside of him. That God, when he saw David, he didn't see an insecure shepherd boy. He looked at David and he says, "This is a young man after my own heart. This is a king and a giant slayer." And so when we fix our focus on areas that are good in people's life and call it out of them, we are most like God. We actually, when I was talking to my staff about this text, they said this, it's like looking through the lens of a mom. All right. I have a lot of women on my staff. Okay. But they said it's like a mom looks at their child. Your kid could be a mess, but it doesn't matter. The mom, she's going to see something sweet and something amazing, in her baby. And so, let me share the story. I thought it was so incredible. I know you're all familiar with, Thomas Edison, probably one of the greatest minds our nation or the world has ever known. He's actually responsible for over 1,000 U.S. patents. And so this incredible inventor didn't always start off so brilliant. And in fact, I recently read the story of Edison as a young boy. He got sent home from school with a note from his teacher, and the teacher told him, you're not to return to school. And so he gave his mom the letter from her teacher, and her mom read it, and she began to tear up a bit as she was reading it, and then she read it out loud to young Edison. And it reads like this. She says, Mrs. Edison, this school is too small and doesn't have enough good teachers for your son. Please, you're going to have to teach him yourself. And so she looks at her son, Thomas, did you hear that? You're too smart for that school. I'm going to have to teach you right here from home. And then how about this? Then years later, when his mom passed away and he was rummaging through her things, he came across that letter. He opened it up and he read the actual words of that letter. Mrs. Edison, your son is mentally ill. We will not allow him back in school. You teach him yourself. Is that unbelievable? What she protected her son from. And years later in Edison's diary, he would write this. Thomas Edison was a mentally ill child that by a hero, his mother, he became the genius of the century. See that death and life are in the power of our tongue. That as we fix our focus on what's good and right in people, we can call it out of them. Come on, isn't that what Luke did for Darth Vader? Somehow he saw the good in the dark side of the Force and called it out of him. Isn't that what Belle did to the Beast? She didn't see a beast. She saw a prince hidden inside of there and began to call the prince out of him. Because death and life are in the power of our tongue. And so are we going to be people that believe the best and highlight what's good and right in other people? Or are we going to highlight what's wrong and what's broken in their life? Because death and life are in the power of the tongue, in the power of the tweet, in the power of the post. And so love, it believes all things. Listen, the Bible is clear. It says this time and time again, that we're to guard our minds, our mouth, and our heart, because out of our heart flows the issues of life. I heard this amazing quote this week, and I think it's so true. They said that, I don't know who to ascribe the quote to, but they said the soul has pockets, and we must be careful what we put in them. That our soul has pockets, and we have to be careful, what are you putting into the pockets of your soul? Are you putting stereotypes, hatred, bigotry, racism, revenge, bitterness? What are you putting in the pockets of your soul? I want to speak to parents this morning. Listen, parents, you are putting things into the pockets of your children's soul. And so what are you putting into them? I love, do you know the band U2, the lead singer Bono, brilliant, brilliant guy who loves Jesus. And here's something I learned recently. You know, the band U2, their core values of the band and of their music is about spreading social justice and global equity around the world. Okay, and so this is their mission statement in life. And so I found this quote from Bono very timely. I'll read it to you. Bono said this. He said, "We must be careful in our efforts to confront the monster, not to ourselves become the monster." Did you hear that? He says, we must be careful in our efforts to confront the monster, not to become the monster ourselves. And so as we're fighting the monsters, the perceived monsters in the world of injustice, let's be sure that we're not becoming the monster. That the political injustice, let's be sure that we're not becoming a monster in this political world. In the battle for equality, let's make sure that we're not becoming the monsters in this. Injustice, in faith, in religion. If you remember the Pharisees, you'll read about them often in the Gospels. And the Pharisees are not seen in a very good light. But yet, I don't know if you know the beginning of the Pharisees, the term Pharisee, it simply means separate ones. And it was a group of men that decided, we want to live holy. We want to obey God to the letter of the law. And so what started out right and good suddenly grew into a monstrosity. It became the very thing it hated. Until when it was fronted with, when the Pharisees were confronted with God in the flesh, Jesus' response to them was, "You brood of vipers, you whitewashed tombs." And what did the Pharisees wind up doing? Hanging him on a cross. And so we want to be careful that as followers of Jesus Christ, that we're not preaching an angry gospel, but rather we're understanding that we're all sinners in need of saving grace, because love believes the very best. Let's look at number three is this. Love hopes all things. Hopes all things. And if you've been here any length of time, you know this, that biblical hope is not like, "Oh, I hope this works out." But rather, biblical hope is a confident expectation of good. And we're called by God to be a people of hope. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says this, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." Did you catch that? Like, we are called to be a people marked by hope. So let me share a story with you. I just love this story. So we had people when I was pastoring in Manhattan, two dear sisters in the Lord, a woman by the name of Daniela and Nadine. They were good friends. And Daniela, she's a fierce evangelist. And so she's constantly getting with unbelievers and atheists and agnostics and trying to share the gospel with them. And so there was one girlfriend that wasn't an agnostic. And so Daniela's trying to share her faith with her. But as they're walking through Times Square, what happens? Daniela, she loses her phone. She realized, somewhere in New York City, I lost my phone. Do you realize that before COVID, that there are over 8 million people in New York City? And so amongst that, Daniela just says, "Hey, let's just hope in God. And I choose to believe that God's going to give me my phone back." And then, like, under her breath, she knows, because she's with her agnostic girlfriend, she's like, "Oh, please, God, come through. Please, God, come through." And after some time searching in Times Square, the agnostic woman and Daniela did not find the phone. And so the agnostic woman started saying, "Hey, where's your God now?" And I don't know why they didn't think of this sooner. But then the agnostic woman goes, "Hey, I'm going to call your phone." And so she calls Daniela's phone, and somebody answers. And who was it? It was Daniela's dear friend and part of our church, Nadine. And so she answers. She's like, "Hello." And then the woman goes, "Who is this? And why do you have my friend's phone?" And blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, Daniela takes the phone from the agnostic woman. And she goes, "Hello?" And she says, "Nadine?" And she goes, "Yeah, I was walking through Times Square, and I just happened to find a phone on the side of the road." Listen to this. And then Daniela could tell the lady, "What about my God now?" See, because Christians, what we do, see, hope abounds in us. We know we are rooted in the hope of God. And the world is starving right now for hope. And our hope's not some flimsy, shaky, "Oh, you know, I hope it's going to work out." But rather, the hope in God is rooted in a blood-stained cross. Like, I am assured the undergirding of my life is that I'm loved by God, because God demonstrated his love for me by sending his son on the cross. So what would God withhold from you if he gave you his one and only son? That hope abounds. It springs eternal for the believer. Because you know that there was a time when nobody hoped. That Jesus, when they put Jesus in the grave, that there wasn't anybody that hoped in Jesus. Not Mary, not the disciples, not Lazarus, nobody. But on the third day, Jesus got up from the grave. And now hope springs eternal. That if in that dark moment, God could bring eternal light from it, God can turn your situation around. Like, because love hopes all things. Past week, I was reminded of the movie Breakthrough. I don't know if you remember this. In 2019, 20th Century Fox, they did a movie called Breakthrough, and it was actually the true story of Joyce Smith and her adopted son, John. John was 14 years old. He had a sleepover with some friends, and the nearby lake was frozen, so they thought, and the boys were testing out the ice. And while they were out on the ice, John texted his mom, "I love you." Little did his mother know that 15 minutes after that "I love you" text, John would break through the ice. And it would take some time till the paramedics arrive to take him out of the frozen water. And as the paramedics, they try for some 45 minutes to revive John to no avail. They rushed him to the nearby hospital, called Joyce, his mother, a spirit-filled Christian, as she began to cry out to Almighty God. And as the hospital unsuccessfully tried to revive John, the attending doctor allowed Joyce to go back to pay her last respects to her deceased son. And as Joyce, as she went back, just with all the weight of the world, but faith began to bubble up in the inside of her. And she says this, "I've heard this verse my whole life," and everyone in the emergency room heard as she's speaking out words of bold faith. She said, "God, you said the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of me. And now, God, I'm calling down the Holy Spirit to raise the life of my son." And she said, in that moment, suddenly a faint pulse began to be found in her son, until suddenly a stronger and stronger heartbeat began to take place as we hope all things. And God began to revive her son, until the official medical record reads like this. This is the official medical record: patient dead, mother prayed, patient came back to life. You know what? 16 days later, young John Smith would walk out of that hospital, because love hopes all things, right? Number four is this: love endures all things. And so this is our moment of participation. I've been enjoying doing my little quizzes here. So I need you to give me in the chat box, what is the trinity of guy movies? And I'm going to give you a few minutes. If any of the men fail this test, you will be on church probation. All right? I'm going to give you a minute. The trinity of guy movies. Punch it in there. All right. I'm going to help you out if you didn't get it. Obviously, we know it's Braveheart, Gladiator, and of course, 300. And if you remember the movie 300, it's actually the account of an actual historic event, the Battle of Thermopylae. And in it, you remember what happened is that a group of 300 Spartans stood against an army that was upwards of a million to as few as though 150,000. Still, 150,000 Persians against 300 Spartans, those are pretty sad odds. And what do we find out happens? That the Spartans were able to hold off the Persians. And as one historian asked King Leonidas of the Spartans, how can you fight so fiercely? And he gave an odd response. He said this. He says, it's because we love. He says, we love our country. We love our people. We love our families. We love our wives and our children. And he says, that's what gives us the strength to stand. And so that word love endures all things. Endures, it's actually a military term. It's a term that means to stand your ground, to keep your place, to hold your post. And so story for today is this: is church tradition would tell us about the 40 martyrs of Sebast. Sebast is modern day Turkey. This is back in 320 AD. And as persecution for Christians has increased in the Roman Empire, 40 Roman soldiers hear the gospel and become ferocious followers of Jesus. They are arrested for their faith, and they are told they either need to recant their faith in Jesus or they will suffer death. They choose death. And so wanting to make a show of them, what they do is they stripped all these 40 Roman soldiers down naked in the freezing cold. They put them out in a freezing lake, naked, stripped naked, and they had to stand there until they would freeze to death through the night. They did have an option. If they ever wanted to, they could recant their faith, and then they could come and be warmed in a warm tub. One man that night of the 40 broke ranks, and he recanted his faith in Jesus. But as he did, one of the armed guards that was guarding the 40, it says he saw this bright light and the glory of God surrounding these men. And when he saw their faith and their courage, this armed guard, he stripped down. He actually stood and became a follower of Jesus Christ, that suddenly they became the 40 again. And he chose to die in this life that he might have eternal life with the one true King now, Jesus the Christ. Because love, it stands its post. It endures all things. And so I'm going to end with this thought. Do you know, we could really fill in our scripture today with this and say, we could replace the word love with the word Jesus. Like that Jesus, he bears all things. Do you know that Jesus, he bore all of your sin, past, present, and future. We could say this, that Jesus, he believes all things. Like Jesus, he sees the image of God on the inside of you. I don't care how wretched you are, and that God is prepared to put his very spirit on the inside of you and call out the image of his son inside of you. That Jesus, he not only that, Jesus hopes all things. Like Jesus has a confidence in this, that the perfect work that he began in you, he's able to see it to completion. And finally, Jesus, he endures all things. That Jesus is never going to leave his post beside you. He said this, I will never leave you and never forsake you. And so now listen, as we close here, I just want to encourage you. Your love will be tested. See, love has never been more lacking in our world, but never more needed. And so I want to pray for us that God would give us strength to be, that we'd love people well, because love never fails. Let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you for this series about love is. Oh, and Holy Ghost, I pray, Spirit of God, that you never let us forget, Lord, our calling and mission to love you and to love people well. Lord, I'm praying that you give us a strength and a courage, Lord, that when we are tested in this world, Lord, that we would choose to put on love. And as we do, that we would win, the world would win, and you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, God bless you, every nation, New Jersey. Sure love you.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.